It is Monday, December 18th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, President Donald Trump prepares to unveil a new national security plan. Millions of migrant children encounter life-threatening conditions as they travel.
We've seen some 400 children who have drowned trying to make their way to Europe.
And three high-budget films are marking the holiday season. It's all ahead. Senior Trump administration officials say President Donald Trump's new national security strategy will provide the country with a clear and actionable playbook to counter the most dangerous and persistent threats. Trump will unveil the strategic document Monday during a speech in Washington, almost 11 months after his administration began work on it. Senior administration officials say it takes a clear-eyed view of the dangers and challenges facing the country, while prioritizing U.S. interests in line with the president's calls to put America first. VOA National Security Correspondent Jeff Seldon joins me in the studio. Jeff, how does this plan differ from the national security policies of the previous two presidents, Barack Obama and George W. Bush?
Well, if you listen to Trump administration officials, they say it's a departure, but it's not a repudiation of what you saw under President Obama or President Bush. They say it's a principled realism is one of the terms that they've thrown out there. And what if you listen to officials who have spoken on background and also on the record, including National Security Advisor General H.R. McMaster, it's really about preserving what the administration sees as the post-World War II global order, the post-Cold War global order, where the U.S. was the major superpower, and also returning, as they say, trying to encapsulate what the president talked about on the campaign trail, about putting America first, about making sure that America's needs as a country are met, as opposed to perhaps giving up some of those needs or passing on some of those needs to maintain order or balance in other parts of the world. So they're trying to do a very delicate balancing act, and they see three types of major threats. They see threats from what they're calling revisionist powers. Those are countries like Russia or China, which are seeking to change the world order as it has been since World War II. Then they see rogue nations, countries like North Korea and Iran, which are destabilizing parts of the world, whether it's with nuclear technology or other activities. And then they see a threat from terrorist groups and transnational criminal organizations. And they've talked about all this throughout. And they say one of the things that will become clear as the president lays out this new national security strategy is that many parts of it have already been put into place, and the administration's already acting on them, whether it's how it's confronting Iran or North Korea, or some of the steps it's been trying to take with Homeland Security and trying to protect U.S. borders against both terrorists and criminal organizations.
So it's basically groupings of three groupings.
Yeah, it's also, they say, based around four basic principles in terms of what they're going to try to do. The first one is to protect the homeland. And they say that the strategy, not that other national security strategies ignored it, but this national security strategy will prioritize it in a way that it has not been prioritized before, emphasizing things like the border and border security, the border wall that the president has talked about. They talk about promoting American prosperity. And another key factor they say that differs from previous national security strategies is how they're looking to use America's economic wealth, its GDP, its economic clout on a global stage as a tool for national security. And they've talked about China's what they call economic aggression and needing to counter China in that way, make sure that the U.S. is getting a fair deal on trade, but also using its economic might to make sure that other countries fall in line and that the U.S. is safer as a result. And they talk about peace through strength, which people may remember from back in the days of President Ronald Reagan, but making sure there's a strong military. And finally, they talk about advancing American influence. And a lot of times, there have been concerns raised by countries, even U.S. allies, about what does it mean, America first? And they say America first is not going to mean America alone. They do need U.S. allies, and they're looking to build on the relationships with key allies already.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Jeff. That's VOA National Security Correspondent Jeff Seldon. Well, also joining me here in the studio is social Media Editor Andrew Pelshevsky. So, Andrew, what's trending?
Well, today is International Migrants Day, so hashtag Migrants Day is being used by organizations on social media, including Doctors Without Borders, the United Nations, and a lot of other groups that work directly with migration issues. And among the people talking about this includes the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who writes on Twitter, "In New York, I'm a migrant myself, but I didn't have to risk my life on the journey. Safe migration is a right, not a privilege." Of course, international migration has been a major issue this year and for the past several years in places like Syria, Libya, and Myanmar. By one estimate I saw on social media, as many as 240 million migrants worldwide. That's roughly one in every 30 people in the world. And as many people are noting today, in addition to those countries, it also impacts Western countries as the migrants flee searching for a better life. And certainly in the United States, migration and immigration have been major issues in the Trump administration, with the travel ban and stricter policies on people coming to the U.S. So that's being hotly debated, using this International Migrants Day as a springboard to discuss and debate those issues. Now, as that conversation is happening about migrants, there's a parallel conversation on social media about President Trump's new national security strategy, as we just heard about, the America First strategy. And with that announcement, people on social media are talking about how groups like migrants will be impacted, how the policy will push the U.S. further towards policies of isolation on the world stage, and the different people that might be affected by that. But of course, as we've talked about just about every time I've been on the show, social media is divided, much like the body politic here in the United States. And so the flip side of that are the Trump supporters saying it's about time that the government puts the United States first, and saying that President Trump is fulfilling one of his campaign promises. Of course, Make America Great Again was his slogan. He talked often on the campaign trail about putting the U.S. interest above anyone else on the world stage. And so his supporters are praising this move, saying that it's a step in the right direction.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. South Africa's ruling ANC party has selected Cyril Ramaphosa as the party's new leader. British police have arrested a man trying to force entry to a U.S. military base. The governor of Puerto Rico orders a recount of Hurricane Maria deaths, death toll, and the incumbent is declared the winner of Honduras's disputed presidential election. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
As you probably know, our solar system has 8 official planets. None of the many distant star systems found so far had as many planets as ours. At a recent press conference, Paul Hertz, Astrophysics Division Director at NASA headquarters in Washington, announced that with a little help, they found a solar system with the same number of planets as ours.
By applying an advanced type of machine learning called a neural network to the Kepler data, these scientists have found, for the first time, an 8th planet in the distant planetary system.
The newly discovered Kepler-9i was found with the help of Google's method of artificial intelligence called machine learning. According to NASA, the machine learning technique is a method of artificial intelligence where computers are programmed to learn. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, a sudden power failure disrupted all flights in and out of Atlanta, Georgia. We'll have more on that. The United Nations Children's Fund is urging countries to do more to ensure the safety and well-being of tens of millions of children on the move. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva that UNICEF is issuing its appeal on International Migrants Day.
The UN Children's Fund reports some 50 million children worldwide are on the move. It says many young people are moving safely with their families who are voluntarily migrating in search of a better life. However, for millions of others, it says the move is neither voluntary nor safe. For example, UNICEF notes conflict has forced about 28 million children to flee their homes at great risk to their lives. In many cases, it says refugees have to use the services of smugglers and traffickers in hopes of reaching safety. In this regard, UNICEF spokeswoman Sarah Crowe says 2017 has been a pretty horrendous year.
We've seen some 400 children who have drowned trying to make their way to Europe. We've seen an estimated 32,000 children who are currently in detention in Libya. Of those, 11,000 are unaccompanied. We've seen children, unaccompanied children, crossing mountain passes in the winter. We've seen them stuck on islands.
Crowe says children on the move face deportation, drowning, and detention. She says thousands are abused, exploited, and enslaved during their perilous journeys. But she says it does not have to be this way. She says nations should look for safe and legal pathways for migrants, such as granting humanitarian and school visas. She cites other positive measures that can be taken to protect and care for migrant children. These include the promotion of community-based alternatives to detention, opening schools and health centers to migrant children, and ensuring access to justice and housing without fear of deportation. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Power was fully restored to Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport early Monday after it suffered an electrical outage for nearly 12 hours, forcing a partial shutdown of the world's busiest airport.
I literally spent a whole 7 hours on an airplane without food or water, and then they finally let us off. And then I walk into a dark room where everyone's sleeping on the floor.
I certainly know it's the largest airport, and so that brings about its own difficulty. However, we did not have a whole lot of correspondence from any of the airport personnel.
Thousands of passengers and hundreds of flights from all over the world were affected. And a backlog of flights loomed Monday. Following the outage, the Federal Aviation Administration ordered a ground stop, keeping flights headed to Atlanta at the airport point of departure. Delta Airlines has its main operations in Atlanta and canceled more than 1,000 flights Sunday and Monday. It could take Delta until Tuesday to resume normal operations. Bad weather forced Delta to cancel thousands of flights stretching over 5 days in April. Computer malfunctions contributed to hundreds of flight cancellations in August of last year and January of this year. Georgia Power said it appeared a fire damaged cables causing the outage. Todd Curtis is an author, aviation safety expert, and founder of airsafe.com. He tells International Edition's Victor Beatty, problems at an airport the size of Atlanta's is bound to have international ramifications.
This is probably the most critical airport in the country that could be affected by a single point failure like a power loss. Atlanta has been for several years the busiest airport in the country. It's not only a major hub for Delta, but also a major market for airlines like Southwest and American. And of course, when it comes to flights from overseas, many of which have relationships with Delta and other airlines, to have this airport go out of commission even for one day will back things up and will make it difficult for at least the next couple of days, these airlines to make money off their flights.
Todd, are airports reliant on one particular electrical service, or are there multiple services that service these airports?
Well, airports are fairly complex enterprises, and in essence, they're like small cities. You have several entities within the airport which may have their own emergency backup power for their own uses. And of course, there could be more than one supplier for power. So again, depending on the airport, depending on the situation, you might have different effects from a power outage. For instance, it looks like when it comes to Atlanta, the terminals were most heavily affected by the power outage, but it doesn't seem that the navigational systems such as the runway lights or the tower may have been as affected.
Hartsfield, as you said, is the world's busiest. Is it not just in the U.S., but in the entire world?
That's correct. There are a few airports that are of the same rank as Hartsfield. We're talking airports like London's Heathrow, Charles de Gaulle in Paris, and of course, Chicago O'Hare. And again, when it affects this part of the market, this part of the U.S. market, it has ripple effects throughout the country and beyond. as was stated earlier by several of the airlines, they have stopped all service for tonight. Airlines like Southwest and American and United. And this will have effects down the line because all of these major airlines, it's not just one airport that's affected. That airplane that may be going into or out of Atlanta may have to do several more flights during the same day. If they're stuck on the ground in Atlanta or stuck on a ground stop in their origin airport, or if they're diverted to another airport, that makes it difficult for every major airline in this country.
That's Todd Curtis of airsafe.com. Atlanta's airport serves more than 100 million passengers a year, 275,000 daily flying on nearly 2,500 aircraft. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
This is International Edition. What makes a film fit for the holidays? Not so much a religious subject as an appeal to the whole family and audiences of all ages. This year, three high-budget films, Star Wars, The Last Jedi, the political thriller The Post, and the musical The Greatest Showman, fit the bill. VOA's Penelope Pulu has more.
Star Wars The Last Jedi, Episode 8, is a much-anticipated installment in the fight of the Resistance against the First Order. But even if Star Wars is not your religion, it is still a visually powerful sci-fi film with massive sets, complex characters, and an unpredictable story that centers on the battle of good versus evil.
The balance.
Daisy Ridley reprises the role of Rey, one of the key characters of the Resistance, who finds Luke Skywalker and uncovers the powers of the Jedi. Like Rey, Kylo Ren, the charismatic anti-hero is also facing inner conflict. Mark Hamill, who reprises the much-anticipated role of Luke Skywalker, was overwhelmed with the expanse of the production.
And I'm telling you, I'd never been on a set that opulent in my life. Plus 150 extras in exotic makeups and alien prosthetics.
It may not be an exaggeration to say that newcomer filmmaker Rian Johnson has created the most riveting yet Star Wars episode.
I hope audiences come out of the theater wanting to run into their backyard, grab their Star Wars toys, and start flying spaceships around. I hope it just feels like a great Star Wars movie, a fun Star Wars movie that takes you back to being 10 years old again.
This is a devastating security breach that was leaked out of the Pentagon.
From sci-fi, we turn to a real-life political story that rocked America in the 1970s.
If the government wins, the Washington Post will cease to exist.
The Post, a critically acclaimed docudrama by Steven Spielberg, tells the story of how the Washington Post took a great risk publishing excerpts of top-secret government documents describing the war in Vietnam as a lost cause and revealing that the U.S. government lied about the extent of its involvement in the war in Indochina.
The way they lied, those days have to be over.
And it showed that we were really fighting an illegal war, and an unwinnable war.
Meryl Streep plays Washington Post publisher Katherine Graham, one of a handful of women in leadership positions back then, and Tom Hanks is the paper's impassioned executive editor, Ben Bradley.
If you publish, we'll be at the Supreme Court next week.
Meaning
Well, we could all go to prison.
This is a highly entertaining, tightly paced political drama that will appeal not only to fans of political thrillers, but also to many who may find the 1970s political scene in Washington eerily relevant to today.
What will happen if we don't publish? We will lose. The country will lose.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
If you consider the musical film genre as the beating heart of the holidays, you are in for a treat. This year, Hugh Jackman takes center stage as the greatest showman. The film, by Michael Gracey, is based on real-life entertainer P.T. Barnum, who founded the Barnum & Bailey Circus that he called the greatest show on earth. Hugh Jackman plays the legendary character as he rises from obscurity, gathers marginalized people with peculiar talents, and creates a spectacular variety troupe. The film, a great spectacle of its own this Yuletide season, delivers the message of acceptance for all those who, no matter how different or odd they may look, carry the spark of genius.
No one ever made a difference by being like everyone else.
Happy holidays. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
Sounds like a lot of great choices there at the cinema. Well, that's our show for today. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy holidays.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, is an indispensable pillar to maintain peace and stability in Europe and Eurasia. Of all the challenges confronting the OSCE today, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said at the recent OSCE Ministerial Council, none is more important or vexing than the situation in Ukraine. The United States is committed to Ukraine's sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity within its internationally recognized borders. Secretary Tillerson called for the full implementation of the Minsk agreements, adding, "We will never accept Russia's occupation and attempted annexation of Crimea." Furthermore, he said, Crimea-related sanctions will remain in place until Russia returns full control of the peninsula to Ukraine. The United States joins its European partners in maintaining sanctions until Russia withdraws its forces from the Donbas and meets its Minsk commitments. Secretary Tillerson noted that while Ukraine is taking steps to abide by these agreements, and it must continue to do so, Russia is not. Indeed, more civilians were killed in 2017 than in 2016, and in November, ceasefire violations in Donetsk and Luhansk were up significantly, according to the OSCE's Special Monitoring Mission, or SMM, to Ukraine. We should be clear about the source of this violence, Secretary Tillerson stressed. Russia is arming, training, leading, and fighting alongside anti-government forces. The United States calls on Russia and its proxies to end its harassment, intimidation, and its attacks on the SMM. The United States honors the sacrifices of Joseph Stone, an American paramedic killed while on patrol in eastern Ukraine in April 2017, and commends the bravery and commitment of the SMM monitors serving in the field today. The United States believes the OSCE remains the best means of ending the crisis in Ukraine, as well as addressing many other issues facing the region. For this reason, the United States will maintain its strong support for the OSCE and reject efforts to weaken it, its institutions, or its field missions. Secretary Tillerson urged all member nations to act on our recommendations for a more peaceful and prosperous Europe, Eurasia, and Central Asia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.